welcome to the High Peak Summer 2019 Camp Staff Podcast, where we interview our camp staff to learn a little bit more about their journey and their story. All right, welcome to the podcast. We have another guest with us today. Who is our guest? Sure, tell us who you are.
Tavy,
where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina, but I was raised in Denver, Colorado.
You were raised in Denver. You were born in North Carolina? Is that why?
No, I was born in Jamaica, moved to North Carolina. So it's just complicated.
You just keep going west and west.
Yeah, so Jamaica, Sean Kingston, moved here when I was one to North Carolina, and that's in Raleigh. And then I moved from Raleigh when I was five to Colorado. So I've been there ever since.
And Denver, mostly.
Yeah, Denver. Denver. Like, I'm a city boy. So it's
you're
a
city boy.
Yeah.
So being a city boy. Okay, so you're a city boy. So then what is it like to live out here where it's not the city?
It's different.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it a lot. The only thing is just like, I'm not used to the bugs.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen so many deer that I've never seen this many deer in my life. So it's like, okay. All right.
Yeah. That's a
boom, boom. You like how the sheep over the moon? That's how I'm pointing the deer out. It's crazy. Yeah, it's pretty fun, though.
So it's different, but it's only for a summer. So it's temporary.
Yeah.
And you get enough time to occasionally get back down the mountain throughout summer.
I choose not to.
Okay.
Only because this summer is the summer where I've actually been in Colorado, but been to so many different places in Colorado.
Wow.
So it's different for me. Like, I miss my mom and my family down there, but it's like being out here and making another family is even, it's not better, but it is better in a way.
Sure.
So, it's been really cool because, like, I went to a church in Loveland. It's called Foundation.
Okay.
And it's really good. And just introducing stuff to me like that, you know, being in Fort Collins, Durango, Broomfield, different places. So,
yeah. So you get a chance because on the weekends, staff don't like to just sit around. They like to go travel, explore. Some go hiking, some go
to Yellowstone.
They went to Yellowstone. Yeah, I know. That's insane.
Fun. Yeah.
That's awesome, though. So you're from Jamaica, but really from North Carolina, but then really from Denver.
yeah.
Really from Denver. Mm. So you've been in Denver for, let's say, the better part of 15 years or so.
Yep.
How did you find High Peak Camp? Tell us how your journey of how you ended up here.
All right, so it's crazy. I started at Red Shield when I was 18, Denver Red Shield. It's down there, 2915 High North Street. I started over there as a summer job. I did summer day camp. And the reason why I got that job is because my mom didn't want the job. So she said, hey, Tavy, you need to find something that, you know, you need to find your path. And I feel like this can help you out a lot. And then I was thinking, like, what is my mom talking about? And then come to find out, it's working with kids. I've, like, never really worked with kids, but I've had a passion for kids, you know, because I want people to know kids know that you can make it. Your voice is heard no matter what.
Yeah.
So I went to Red Shield, did a day camp there, and then I came to High Peak for a week with Red Shield. And I was like, wow, this is so, it's so amazing. It's so dope. Like, we had so many different, like I'll say, like, good situations. And I was just like, I want to come back. I didn't really have the, like, push to come back, but I wanted to. So then there was just, like, then the applications came around. And I was working at Red Shield at the time at the school program. Faith was like, you know, High Peak, it changes your life. I was like, you know, it probably does. So I took consideration and I came up here for Say Summit.
The youth retreat.
Yeah, for the youth retreat. And I had a talk with Captain Audra and Mandy, and they're just talking about how I should work here. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. And then I applied the interview, and then now I'm here.
That's awesome.
Here. So, yeah. That's
so you kind of, you fell through, first got connected through this summer day camp program where you were working. And that was last summer, because throughout the year we had young adult events and you would come to those, most of them. Actually, I think you came to most of them.
I was here. I just enjoy it up here. It's just a different vibe from, like, down in the city.
Sure.
Because it's like two different things you have.
Right.
And being here, you have people that want to praise God and want to be with God. And that's just another thing that encourages me. So when I do get back down to the city, I can tell people, like, you believe in God. I'm gonna tell you about God, but if you wanna go the other direction, at least He's in your head no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing I got from being here at this camp and coming consistently. It's because, like, everybody here loves God.
Yeah.
And it's that equal, and we feel we have that equal amount of opportunity
to
be in the same place. So
that's one thing I hear a lot on the podcast, but also I hear a lot as I'm talking to people, they say, well, you know, it's just different when you're here. Even school's different, work, being back home. They say, but when you're here, you're surrounded by
you know, 50 other people your same age, mm-hmm. and they all have the same passion, and it actually strengthens your faith, really, yeah. to be in unity together. Well, that's good. Let me ask you this. So you've been working here at High Peak for the summer. You worked summer day camp, but just think of here at High Peak. What do you think is your number one most favorite thing about working at summer camp?
Teaching the gospel.
Yeah.
I think that's like, there's everything you could pick, but like just seeing the kids engage and listen is like probably the best part. And then come back with questions. Probably questions I don't know, so I have to look up and then come back to them about the question. Like, so that's probably the best thing. Just I'm furthering educating myself about the Bible and about God, and then I'm educating them on stuff they don't even know and stuff I just found out about. So it's like, dang, you're teaching me while I'm teaching you. So it's like,
sure,
it's like that's probably the best thing for me.
That's really cool. And I would suspect, I'm gonna ask you a question. I think I know the answer, but what point or when in camp? When does that happen? When is that moment or when is that time that you get to experience that?
Man. So we have Devos.
Yeah.
Devos is probably the best.
Cabin devotions?
Yeah. Devotions. Yeah. That's probably the best time. Or like you can take it to where, cause I had one point like where kids would come up to me during free time. Cause we'll go to the field at the chapel and just ask questions and you just sit there and on the field and just talk about it. Wow. So it's like different situations, like wherever there was like open spots, they'll talk to you about it. Or if it's not even like, they'll just bring it up to you. You tell them, oh, we'll talk about it when we get back to the cabin. Or, like, ask your counselor, because I have my, you know, this is, like, different things, you know. So, yeah, I think devotions is probably the best time. And the biggest devotion for me was the last week of camp, because that's when I actually found the courage to, like, actually do a devo. And it was for the older kids. And it was a culture shock just to see, like, everybody.
You're saying from the stage?
Yeah. It was in the upper mill.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there. I did it for the kids, and it was like, boom, and tears. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't cry. But I'm like, you guys got this. Just put your trust in God. I just came out of Psalms 56, letting them know, like, putting your trust in God is so important, you know. And that's probably, like, the biggest thing for me. Yeah.
Tavy, that's the point, man. We and I say this to a lot of people on the podcast, but in general, we don't hire people just to do a job. Like, we're all partners in ministry. We've all been, you know, I've been right where you were 20 something years ago, being a counselor and, like, you know, nervous, but also humbled that I have the opportunity to share the gospel, and then scared. And then kids ask questions. Oh my gosh. They ask questions I don't know the answer to, you know, even 20 years later, I wouldn't know the answers, you know? But that's awesome. Okay, good. Let me ask you this. Being at camp all summer, what is your favorite and least favorite food item that we serve?
Oh.
Favorite, man. First.
My favorite was probably I don't know what it's called, but it's the chicken. It's the chicken with, there's like ham in the middle of it.
Oh, the chicken cordon bleu. Yeah, has cheese in there?
Yeah. Those that are probably one my is favorite. Good. Okay, those are good. I can eat those like constantly.
Yeah.
Now my least favorite would have to be the pizza.
Oh, Monday night pizza.
Yeah, I think only because it was every Monday.
It is every Monday.
That's probably the only reason. But like,
we try to rotate some of the things, but the Monday night pizza, it's the easiest thing. And you know why, actually? Because sometimes when the kids, if registration goes late, we can easily just keep throwing those in, which is good. But yeah, okay, got you. Repetitious, huh? That's good. What about, so you didn't go home very often. Mm-hmm. And so while you're here at camp, what is something you miss from back home?
Oh, my mom.
Hey, family. Yeah.
I think, like, only reason is, like, I'm a mama's boy. So, like, just even leaving here is just, like, leaving her was just, like, I got. Yeah. But, like, I miss my mom and just the food. My granny would cook. Well, she still cooks every Sunday. Those are probably the only things. Oh, really?
Sunday supper or whatever?
Yeah, that's, like, the biggest thing. Other than that, you know, my little brothers, that's my little brother. So, but, I miss, that's probably about it. Just,
How's your mom feel about you working up here? So she encouraged you to work at Dust Summer Day Camp, but what about up here?
She like pushed me.
Okay.
Even though she didn't want
know exactly
like,
what it was.
She's like, I don't want you to go, but you need to do this. Yeah, so I'm like, all right, cool. Just like, even if like, I mean, the thing about it with my mom is, she would always make sure that I was on a stable track, no matter what I'm doing.
Sure.
So like, even if it's like something she doesn't think I need to do, but I feel comfortable doing it, she's going to encourage me to do it.
Yeah.
So like, it's just like stuff like that. Like, she wasn't sure about me coming up here, but now she sees that, you know, I'm over here throwing scriptures out at her. She's like, you know what?
She's all proud.
Yeah.
Let me ask you that. So your moms are obviously very close to your mom. What, tell me more about your faith journey. Did you grow up in the church? Did you, I mean, what do you remember from growing up? Was it?
Man. Yeah. So I grew up, I was like, my mom was like, I was in her stomach. She was at, so I was in church every single day.
Okay.
But like, it came to a point for me where, like it was being shoved down my throat. It wasn't like just different people. I had people at school asking me questions, you know, why do you do this? Why do you do that? And it like, and then I lost my cousin, and then I lost my cousin, and that just like brought me to a point where like, dang, God, why are you doing this? You know, so it did pull me away. But then at one point in life, I met this person. Her name was Hannah. She's my pastor, my youth pastor. I met her, and she like brought me back to the faith, to where I reopened up a Bible and like started praying again, and like just strengthened my faith again. So yeah, I was in church, but.
Sure.
I didn't feel that same energy I felt when I was younger. Okay. It started to pull away from me. Then I wanted to started going to youth groups, and then like young adults, just doing it off and on, every single time I could, and it just pulled me into God even closer to where I was. And then I hit 18, and then that's when Red Shield came around, and that's when my faith was just like, you know, wow. God is real.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's there for you no sure. matter what. I lost my brother, and I was 18 years old, and I lost my brother. But the thing about it is, that has strengthened me a lot now, because like God does things for a reason. Like yeah. I can't like sit there and just hold a grudge and be mad sure. about it. I have to like push and let kids know, kids that were in his situation, that they can be out of that situation and do what they need to do.
Wow. So
yeah, that's my faith right now is strong.
Yeah.
And my trust in God is like there.
What do you think? Do you think, how does High Peak play an impact in that? Or does it?
It does. Yeah. Strong. Completely. So besides the fact with Devos, with the kids, I used to just, Sundays, Saturdays, I would take time and read my Bible, pray. This is the most I've prayed in like about since I did meet Hannah, So when I met her, she like pulled me in and prayed with me. So this summer is pretty much connecting me more with God, because that first week of orientation, I was praying like every day, praying for my faith, praying for the kids' faith, praying for everybody else's faith, keeping them, you know, keeping God, keeping hands around them, God, you know, everything. And this is, it showed me too here, pride is like something that you have to let go with a lot of things. Think about like you may have enemies, but God said turn the other cheek. And that's the most important thing I learned. Like, you can't be upset about everything and forgiveness. Sure. I just watched this movie called I Can Only Imagine.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Okay.
It is unbelievable.
Really?
Yes. It's crazy because, like, it just shows that people, if you just push people to believe in God, they can do it. Yeah. And that's, like, the biggest thing. So, yeah, High Peak has helped out a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I give shout out High Peak. Yeah. High Peak,
there you go. I was worried I was gonna have to give a spoiler alert on I Can Only Imagine. I didn't know how much you're gonna share about that.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
Good movie, huh?
Yes.
Let me ask you this: what is you could think of the funniest thing, or what's the wildest thing this summer that you can remember that like maybe a camper said or did, or what's something that just sticks out to you? You'll never forget all of your life that happened this summer.
So I'm not gonna say it was bad. It was hard though. It was my first week. I was like, first week, it's going to be a breeze. I ran into a kid, and he just would not go to sleep at all. But he had these moments to where he was up, and he was like, well, he was up, and he was just talking and just saying things and just pretty much saying how much he loved us and thank you for being here for us. But throughout that, he slapped me at one point when I was at a campfire.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, I don't really... That was probably like the, not highlight, but probably the most thing I'm not going to forget.
Yeah.
Just the fact. Yeah. So.
And week one.
Yeah. That was my
welcome
first
to High Peak.
Yeah. it was intense. And I think in my, the week where I enjoyed just, I had this kid, his name, he just thought he was, he thought he wasn't important. And I was just telling him like, kids are looking up to you. And he was like, he took that and just for the rest of the week, knocked it out.
Yeah.
And had like great conversations with his counselors, talking back to people,
sure.
and just seeing that was like, man,
That's awesome, huh?
Yeah.
So seeing that change is amazing.
Yeah. And this, you can do it over a week course. It's just like...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, like you can do it in general if you can do it over a week course.
Isn't that crazy? That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I have I do kind of a fun thing where I play some sounds and you're going to hear them in your headset. Mm-hmm. And we play these sounds and I want you to guess them. When you can guess them, I want you to share with the listeners of the podcast what you are guessing this is, okay?
All right.
Let's get started here.
Is this a song? Nah.
No?
No.
You don't got it?
Nah.
Everyone has gotten this one yet.
Nope.
Nope? Okay. Nah. Have you heard the song Let It Be by the Beatles?
Nah.
No? Okay. Right. Okay. Well, it is older. Okay. That was a hard one. We're going to start with another one. Here we go. Yeah. Let's see if we can get this one. It's also another instrumental, so this one was tricky even for me, and I know this song, but let's see if you can get it.
This is old school. This is a group. Nope, I can't.
I have heard you sing this song on camp this summer.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh.
When Jenna Grace May came out to do the thing, you wanted to sing a song by this artist.
Nah.
No?
I can't think of it.
Do you know the song Stomp by Kirk Franklin?
Stomp. Are you?
It is. Here's the deal. I couldn't find. The problem is I couldn't find the actual instrumental from his track because this is like a redo.
Yeah.
And it sounds a little bit wonky, so I thought that'd be a little bit harder. Stomp.
Okay.
You know Stomp?
All right, yeah.
Stomp. That's a good one.
That's my song.
Okay, wait. We're 0 for 2 here.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm going to see if you can get this one. Let's see if you can get this one. Here we go.
Oh, this is, song is on. And the Jay-Z song is on. It's Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Party of the USA.
It's a good classic, man.
Yeah, okay, that's easy.
You know, okay, that's good. Well, this one has words.
Yeah, that's.
If I just played the music, that'd be a lot harder, right? My kids love that song. They think it's a lot of fun. There is a party in the USA.
All day, every day.
All right, here we go. Here's another one for you. Ready? See if you can get this one for me.
Oh, this is us. Hey, let me shout this in. You already know, man. Hey, go get us. So you already know, K-Freeze, Tiny T, Space, shout this in. This is how we do it.
Oh, it's on a loop. I thought I had one with you on there singing. I didn't have it.
Nah, I did a little bad on that one.
This was a, tell us about this. So this is from an Instagram account, the youth department's Instagram account. And tell me about it. So this is from where? Tell us about what happened here.
Oh, man. So this is at WI. That was a crazy dope week. Wow, where do I start? I don't know. That's me, Vontis, and Kimba. We're trying to make a group called COG's Child of God. And that's Kimba's original song called Straight Outta Sin. And it's just pretty much, we're just trying to tell people and show people that there's different ways to praise God. You can praise God dancing, rapping, singing, snapping your fingers, just different ways. You don't have to just always be in that, you know, just sitting there waving your hand, praising God. There's different ways to praise God no matter what. And I feel like God accepts that.
Yeah.
And if you're praising Him and that's the God you're praising, He accepts that.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing that we're thinking of that week at WII. We came together. At first, we did one at in High Peak for Redshield Camp. It was called Everybody in the Chapel Get Holy. It's a remix of Everybody in the Club Get Tipsy.
Cause,
that's so, you know, it's so catchy that if you change that chorus, you can, you know.
So taking a lyric from a popular song
and
giving it to God.
Yeah, pretty much. And just doing that. And we're pretty much, so Tuesday, me and Kimber are going to the studio. And Vontis, we're going to redo a song that he did. And we just want people to know, like, we're praising God. Either way, you don't like it, you're not God. We know God likes what we're doing because we're praising Him. And that's just the biggest thing for us. So,
you know, all of the Salvation Army, you've been around enough to know a little bit about the Salvation Army. And we use a lot of brass music. You know, music camp
and worship. Yeah.
But do you know most of those hymns were popular bar songs of the day that Salvationists rewrote?
Really?
into worship songs.
Wow.
Is that amazing or
that's,
what?
That's cool. That's,
like, you, what you're doing isn't new. It's it's new because it's not being done right now, but I'm saying, like, it's not new. Like, we, that's how we have these songs now.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's like, and it's so cool to hear that because everybody is expecting it to be that hip-hop sense of, like, true. Downing people or, like, downing, not even talking about, you know, drugs, alcohol, but it's like, we're talking about God, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. And that's just the most important thing for us.
And there are some of those, and I used to follow Christian rap a lot, actually, and a lot of those, sometimes you'd get an album or a song, and it was just dedicated to what I used to. I used to do this and this and this, and then, like, this, it was a snippet at the end that was like, but now I got Jesus. Like, I like so much more the focus, like, who is God? Yeah, how great is he? What is he doing now? Yeah. Right? But I've seen those, they're testimony raps, right? But they just, it's kind of like a humble brag, you know, or something, you know, like, I want to talk about all the things I used to do.
Yeah.
But that's cool. COG.
Yeah.
Children of God? What did you say?
Child of God. Okay. Because at first it was just Kimber. And then it was like, boy, we got you, man. You know? So now it's Children of God. And,
that's awesome.
Yep.
And you're going to perform at our youth event for us.
For sure.
That's
for
exciting. Sure, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So at this point in the podcast, I try to keep them all kind of in time. And there's one opportunity where I kind of like to flip the script. Mm-hmm. And I like to ask you an opportunity to ask me a question. So anything you can think of in your head that you're curious about or about my ministry or anything else that you want to know, it's an opportunity for you to interview me and ask me a question. So what do you got? Anything you can think of?
What pushed you towards being a captain? Yeah. Of the Salvation. That's like,
An officer?
Yeah, an officer.
That's funny. I've shared this story a couple times on the podcast, and throughout the year when you hear the podcast, you'll hear this story, but you're going to hear it here too. It's a great question, and here's the reality. I grew up with my dad in the Navy for 28 years, and what happened is my mom, when he was out at sea, mom would take us to the Salvation Army Church because her parents were officers, and so I grew up going to the Salvation Army Church. Just like you, I grew up in church. 2 weeks I was there, you know? And so I grew up going to church, and I always thought, my dad retired when I was 12 and he became a Salvation Army officer. And I always thought growing up, like, man, that's something I think I could do. Like, I think I can do it. But I never really felt like God was calling me to it. Or I wasn't really sure. Mm-hmm. Some people have callings. Like, I woke up and I got a phone call and it was God. And he said I was called to do it. I have not received that. And so I kind of just tucked that behind and I did some of the things. I went to be a youth pastor, went to the military, came out. I worked for the Salvation Army. And my wife and I were sitting and we watched a video, probably a video I've seen a billion times, about William Booth. And my wife turned to me and said, I'm called to be an officer. And I immediately knew. And I said, so am I. So we knew as a couple. Mm-hmm. So then at that point, you start, what does it look like? How do we do that? Should we do it? You know, we feel like God's calling us, but what does it look like? So we went to a thing called FOF, and it's a weekend in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And they do all kinds of workshops about what does it look like to be an officer? How does the process work? And they brought in this, I think he was a magician. I can't quite remember, but he's a magician or illusionist. And he did his act. And at the end of his act, all weekend, I was kind of like, man, that was a good lecture about officership, but I'm not feeling it. It's not hitting me. Mm-hmm. And he did this act. And at the end of his act, he said something like, he said, you know, I don't normally do Salvation Army shows. In fact, I don't know if I've ever done one. He said, but when I got the call, I couldn't say no. And he said, I couldn't say no because when I was, I think he said 6 or 7 years old, he said, my dad lost his job in the factory. And he said, for 3 years, a Salvation Army, a person in a Salvation Army uniform, came to our house and brought us groceries every single Friday. And he said, and that's how he lived for 3 years, was a Salvation Army bringing groceries. And right then I felt God's Holy Spirit say, and that's why you need to be an officer, to serve people. And that was really what solidified it all. Like, I had all the knowledge and background about why I should or why I could or how, what it looks like. But that right there was when God just solidified in my heart, like, that's it. And so we've been now for just over 9 years. And in those years, the amazing amount of people I've been able to minister to on behalf of the Salvation Army and of God is just humbling, man. It's like, there's nothing like it. Crazy things. I mean, my wife and I, we got a random phone call from another Salvation Army officer who was serving at a forest fire. This lady who was pregnant, her house burned down. And she was 6 months pregnant, 7 months pregnant, and her house burned down. She had nowhere to go. So she's living in a hotel in our town. So the officer from there called us, said she's coming down. but there's some complications with her baby. Mm-hmm. So they already knew there was some issue, and that they knew the baby was going to be born stillborn, yeah, or the baby was going to be born and only live 10 to 12 days. And so my wife called her and said, hey, I'm Salvation Army also. You talk to this person. I'd love to come and visit you in the hospital. So my wife went to the hospital, and she sat with her for 2 weeks. This lady let her in the delivery room, sat with her while she held her baby. And I think the baby lasted, I think, only 5 or 6 hours. But to be able to sit with someone in their most vulnerable times, because we're the Salvation Army, because we are the people know we do good, because we... but honestly, ultimately, because God is in control and God has chosen and allowed us to minister in this fashion. So,
yeah,
man, it's heavy. It's cool. Yeah. And then here at camp, I mean, that's, you know, other officers, they seem jealous. You know, you get to go out and be out of camp. And they say, yeah, I mean, try living with 60, 18-year-olds too. I mean, it is fun. But we wouldn't trade for the world, because, like you said, we get to see these kids come to know Christ, yeah, and see the transformation is huge. Yeah, that's a good question. Thanks for asking me that.
That's dope.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Hey, Octavia, I want to tell you, we just love having you around. I know you attend another church, but you're off and on with Red Shield. And now, I mean, pretty much we've claimed you as our own now. You're connected to us. You come to our young adult events. This next year, you'll be helping us out here at camp off and on, which is really great. And we just loved having you on camp staff. And I hope it should everything work out in your life, that next year you're available. Man, hit the apply button.
I'm applying. I already got my.
You're applying. Okay. All right. Yeah. I like to hear that. I always tell people, I can't ask you to confirm, but if you could, would you want to come back? That's awesome. We're looking forward to it. We're glad that you served with us this summer, and thanks for doing the podcast with me.
Thank you for having me here. It was fun.
Awesome. Well, we'd love to hear from you later, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
All right.